Hi. So I figured that since this podcast is a more casual iteration of my thoughts, and sometimes, you know, the podcasts that I put on here are really just audio versions of the videos I put out on YouTube, and other times they are, I guess, special content for the fewer, much fewer listeners that I have than viewers. And yeah, one such listener, I actually haven't asked him yet if he's willing to have his name mentioned on here, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to mention his initials. CJM, thank you very much for emailing me. He had a response to my video / podcast called Should Christians Get the Vaccine? And it was very insightful. I think it's one of the possible arguments or rebuttals that have a solid line of thinking. At least for me right now. And just a disclaimer, before I get into, I don't know, maybe my 8, 9, 10 minutes of talking about this issue, I've only skimmed the articles. I've only done preliminary research. I'm at the tip of the iceberg here. And my opinion can change. I might be wrong. And that's why I like conversations. That's why you're free to email me at nate.punzelan@gmail.com. If you have more insights, and you know, let's get down and dirty. Let's do it. This dude, this CJM guy, he emailed me very friendly, very kind email, kind words. Thank you. And he said that personally, he was also curious as to why some Christians were hesitant to get the vaccine. But then after going online, one of the main concerns was about how the vaccines were made, since these vaccines were tested in aborted fetal cell lines. So these are babies, unborn human babies, that unfortunately, sadly, were aborted. And I'm not a doctor by profession, and this guy also says that he's not. And he says he doesn't know the difference between, it's difficult to delineate the difference between aborted fetal cell lines and cell tissues and stuff like that. But as far as I know, I think it's the AstraZeneca vaccine that was produced in the cells of a specific aborted fetal cell line. And this guy, the CJM, he sent me a few articles. One of them is from Nebraska Medicine. And yun nga, parang it explores how some COVID vaccines were developed with the help of these aborted fetal cell lines, what that means, and whether that's an ethical question, whether that poses, you know, that challenges our morality, our convictions, especially as Christians. Siyempre, you know, when you find out that hala, the COVID vaccines are related pala to abortion, the way that they were developed. And the worst case scenario that might pop up in your head if you don't understand the way that this works is, hala, every vaccine is an aborted baby. For every vaccine dose, they had to get a cell from an aborted baby. And, you know, that's a real cause for concern. If you don't know if that's what you really think, honestly, or if that were even true, then, yeah, that's a valid line of argument. That it would pose a big issue, and I would be thinking about how much I want to get the COVID-19 vaccine, because in my mind, hala, am I supporting, promoting, advocating abortion, right, as a pro-lifer by taking the vaccine. So this article is called You Asked, We Answered, Do the COVID-19 Vaccines Contain Aborted Fetal Cells? From NebraskaMed.com. If you want to read the article yourself, there's the source. I might be interpreting some of it wrong, but to the best of my ability, I'm conveying here the relevant details. The COVID-19 vaccines do not contain any aborted fetal cells. However, Pfizer and Moderna did perform confirmation tests to ensure the vaccines work, using fetal cell lines. And Johnson & Johnson uses fetal cell lines in the vaccine development, confirmation, and production. Now, it's important to have the full context. Fetal cell lines are not the same as fetal tissue. Okay, fetal cell lines are not the same as getting cells from an aborted baby that was, you know, aborted in 2020, 2019, 2018. So the article goes on to say that fetal cell lines are cells that grow in a laboratory. They're descendants of the cells taken from elective abortions in the 1970s and 1980s. So these fetal cell lines that came from aborted babies were the cell lines, or the abortions were done in the 1970s and 80s. They're essentially 40 years old. And these individual cells from the 1970s and 80s have since multiplied into many new cells over the past 4 or 5 decades, creating cell lines, fetal cell lines. Current fetal cell lines are thousands of generations removed from the original fetal tissue. They do not contain any tissue from a fetus directly. And so vaccine makers are using these fetal cell lines, and you can read it yourself. But it's for development, for confirmation, for production, just to make sure that the vaccine works. And some, you know, the vaccines had to use fetal cell lines just to confirm that the vaccine companies had to use fetal cell lines just to confirm that the vaccine itself, the COVID-19 vaccine itself, is effective. But one of the last paragraphs here in this article says that none of the COVID-19 vaccines in development use fetal cells taken from recent abortions. Again, it's not like a baby was aborted in 2019, 2018, or 2020, and AstraZeneca said, hey, let's get that aborted baby and let's use that to create this vaccine. Nothing of the sort. And that helps us answer some ethical questions that were posed in another article that was sent to me by Mr. CJM. It's a more faith-oriented article, Christian-oriented article, from thegospelcoalition.org, actually. So this was written by Neil Chambers. The article title is called Thank God and Roll Up Your Sleeve, written in March 3, 2021, or published March 3, 2021. So this is quite a recent article with a more Christian angle toward it. I'll read some of it. Pro-life Christians are also concerned about the use of cell lines developed from aborted fetuses in the production and testing of these vaccines. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are both synthetic. They're manufactured and not multiplied in cell lines. Cell lines have not been used in their production, and there's no component of them that has any connections with cells from an aborted fetus at all. Although they have been tested on these cell lines, but also many other medications in the whole wide world that have been developed are also being tested on these cell lines. So it's... If you wanna go this route with the argument na parang ala, testing on aborted fetus cell lines for this vaccine, now we can't take the vaccine. You gotta do that also for all these other medications that are being tested on these cell lines. If you wanna be consistent in your argument. However, the AstraZeneca vaccine is produced in the cells of the HEK293 cell line. How should this influence our decision about whether to get the vaccine and which vaccine to get? Makes sense. It's a very valid line of argument, and I don't wanna, you know, make fun of an argument na parang, hello, every vaccine is an aborted baby. Sige, wag na tayo magpa-vaccine. Let's treat this, you know, with dignity, and read that, you know, here in this article, there are at least two ethical questions that are posed. Now, first question. Does our use of something derived from an abortion, in this case a 40-year-old immortalized cell line, make us complicit in the original evil act of the abortion? Let's say if we get the vaccine and the vaccine was derived from the abortion, which, you know, it's still 40 years ago, it's still thousands of generations removed from the original fetus. But does taking the vaccine make us part of the evil act of the abortion? That's the first question. And second question is, does our usage of that vaccine promote further abortions? And so this guy, this writer, Neil Chambers, he says, some will answer the... he, I'll skip ahead, and he says, Paul walked on roads made for the Roman military to facilitate their conquest and occupation. Should he have restricted himself to the perilous and at times impassable Roman roads? We do not live in a perfect world. And yes, we should grieve for the pervasiveness of sin in our world. It's a broken world, right? But we should also be thankful that it's a world where sometimes God brings good out of evil. The original abortion was done in the 60s. That's what it says in this article. And it was not done to develop the cell line, which was developed in 1972, which is years after. It would have happened. Unfortunately, the abortion would have happened whether or not a cell line was developed. The cell line has been altered significantly from the original cells. It's thousands of generations removed. And now, those who are working on developing the vaccine are not like, yes, abort more babies so that we can make more vaccines. Those who are working on developing the vaccine also have a clear intent to do good and to save lives. This guy says he's not persuaded by the suggestion that the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine makes us complicit in the evil of the original abortion. Thus, our use of this cell line promote further abortions? That's an answer that you need to answer for yourself. But this writer says, no. It might contribute to the normalization of the use of such products, and that's a serious consideration. But whether the products of abortion continue to be used in research will depend more on the changing of the ethical climate to value the unborn human life and the development of alternatives. So it's not about whether or not you take the vaccine. It's not like boycott the vaccine in order to stop abortion. That's a very, very indirect way to campaign for pro-life, you know, to campaign for anti-abortion. If that's the stand you're taking on abortion, right? And where do I go in this article? Well, you can read the rest of the article yourself. Again, it's called Thank God and Roll Up Your Sleeve at thegospelcoalition.org. He's making points here that there is always risk in anything we do. Getting vaccinated is going to help the world. It's an act of love, actually, to help our community and all of that stuff. So that's great. For me, after going over the surface details of this argument on fetal cell lines and their contribution to the development of the vaccine, I am still for the use of vaccines. I am still for, even if you're a Christian, even if you're pro-life, anti-abortion, I still would say that given these facts, take the vaccine for yourself, for your loved ones, for the community around you, for the actual direct consequence of being less prone to contracting the virus and less at risk of being a spreader of the virus. But at the same time, also to take kind of like a stand and to tell people that, yo, I took the vaccine. And actually, in the States, I did take the vaccine. They prioritize frontliners and senior citizens, but they're delivered kasi in cases of like, for mine, my case was 30, and only 25 senior citizens and frontliners signed up to take the vaccine. So you can call, in the States, you can call like a Rite Aid or a CVS or a pharmacy, and you can ask them, yo, did you use all of the vaccines for today? And some of them will say, no. In fact, the extra doses we have here are going to expire in a few hours because they have to be super cold. Like once you open the case of vaccines, they're going to expire in a few hours. I think 5 hours yung shelf life. And so they're going to say, if you want it, you can get it. You just come here right now. Kasi sayang eh, di ba? So that's how, just for accountability, that's how we got the vaccine through a process that's just like that. So I am not just defending the fact that I have a vaccine. I am proudly, based on the details I know now, telling you, the listener, don't worry that part of the development of the vaccine or the testing and confirmation of this vaccine could have been, derived from a cell line that's thousands of generations removed from an unborn baby that was aborted, unfortunately, sadly, in the 60s or in the 70s. I would say that take a stand, take the vaccine, tell other people that you know what you're doing, and that you have researched the whole abortion controversy with the vaccine, and you can still take a stand where you are. And if you, after hearing all these details, you want to take a stand opposite to what I'm saying, then that's fine. In fact, if you have another rebuttal altogether also, if you have another argument, like the mark of the beast kind of deal, and I figure that it's a valid line of questioning and a logical line of thought, thinking, then go ahead and email me nate.punzan@gmail.com. This is not a challenge. This is me saying you're free to ask me, and I'm gonna do my research and let's see what we can come up with. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe all along, right, it's Christian values, you're not supposed to take the vaccine because of another reason. But right now, just take it if you have the opportunity. Syempre, you want to prioritize the senior citizens, we want to prioritize the frontliners. But if you have the opportunity, if it were like maybe in the States right now, where if there's an extra dose that's going to expire anyway, go bad anyway, take it na para hindi sayang. That's my line of thinking. Hi there. I just paused the recording for a while and collected my thoughts, but I have another quick point to make. I'm not going to go as in-depth with this one. But going back to our two ethical questions, right? Does this promote abortion? Do we have any? Are we now part of the evil, the original act of the abortion done 40 years ago? I would also try to. I would also bring up the fact that it's very difficult to live the lives that we're living right now. I guess quote unquote normal postmodern lives in this era. Maybe urban lives, you know, in the city, and not at all ever, never, never, ever consume any products, wear any products, you know, eat any products that were created, you know, with any process related to evil and corruption. I didn't word that 100% right, but you know what I mean. You have to make sure that all of your shoes were not made in sweatshops. You're gonna have to make sure that all of your clothes that you wear were not made in factories where there was, you know, the workers were being abused. You have to make sure that every single ingredient of every single food item that you eat, whether that's from, you know, something that you order online, food that you make in your house, or food that was made in your mom's kitchen by your mom lovingly, you know, given to you as a gift, and then you don't want to eat it because, oh no, this ingredient was not fair trade, you know, this ingredient was sourced from a process that had to do with abuse of the farmers. Just because one person goes vegan to help save the environment, which is very noble and I like that, and I support that, does that mean that everybody in the whole wide world also has to go vegan? You know, one person's taking a stand is an advocate of saving the environment by watching what that person eats, watching what that person consumes, animal products. Does that mean that everyone has to comply with the exact same conviction? And it's a question worth diving deeper into. It's a question that I don't have the answer to either. But, diba, parang YouTube is a platform that has unclean content, that has content that I wouldn't show my little brother. There's content on YouTube that I don't, if I had kids, I don't want to show them because there's stuff on there, maybe words that people are saying, the concepts that people are talking about, or just imagery, right, that I don't want them to see. Does that mean that I should never watch anything on YouTube ever again? Does that mean that I should stop supporting YouTube because they allow these kinds of videos to be on their platform? Does that mean that I should stop making videos and putting them out on YouTube even if they are inspirational or they help other people get through their mental health struggles and help other people build their faith? Does that mean I shouldn't watch The Chosen, which is, you know, that historical fiction series on the life of Jesus, which was for me personally very inspiring, doesn't mean I should stop watching that series, which builds up my faith, just because it was also posted on YouTube. Does that mean that they're supporting YouTube? Does that mean that they're supporting the unclean content that gets published on YouTube? You know what I mean? It's like there's a whole web of connections in this world that we live in today. And you're kind of going to have to find the line where you're going to draw that line and stop connecting the dots and start just thinking internally again and drawing your attention to, okay, what are my direct actions that are negatively contributing to society? What are my direct actions where I'm wasting water, I'm turning on the air conditioning when I know it's already, you know, so cold and I don't need it, and I'm not helping the environment? Am I littering? You know, things like that. That's when I would just go back na lang to your daily life and see if there are any direct actions. Because there was that problem with Netflix also before. I'm not going to go 100% deep into it. In fact, it's 4 minutes already for this segment. But there was that thing with Netflix before na parang, because they create content that is that has witchcraft, or they create content and publish content on their platform that super worldly and secular and not good, does that mean that I should stop watching Netflix altogether? Does that mean I should cancel Netflix and delete Netflix from all of my devices? And furthermore, do I advocate to all of my Christian friends and brothers and sisters to stop using Netflix altogether? When, you know, there are a lot of good shows on Netflix as well. There are a lot of Netflix movies and shows that promote good values and or that are just simply entertaining and wholesome. That's the question I'm going to leave us with. And I'm going to stop babbling. Goodbye.